How many still blow the horn in your car as much as you did 10 years ago? If you do, shame on you. Okay? Because we should be more patient. We should be more gracious than we were 10 years ago. Yeah, I would have. I ride with my son, and I'm thinking, if this is what Dad was like 30 years ago or 25 years ago, oh, brother. All right. But as we stop and we see ourselves, and we look at this obedience that God wants us to follow after, is the sin, the leprous sins falling off as we move? And so as they were there and they were going and they were glorifying, you know, we find that they'll be glorifying, but they're there and they're moving. And then we find this. Man's response to Jesus while in quarantine will either be thankfulness or entitlement. Thankfulness or entitlement. What do I mean by that? One went back. Nine didn't. And you stop and you ask yourself, why? Why not? Why did one kind of just, whoa, pull the brakes back a little bit? Wait a minute, what's happening to me? Whoa. And instead of continuing on, he goes and says, whoa. And he turns around and goes the other direction. And as we stop and we think about this, think about our society and our world today. And what we've been through, and how many people we're living in a society today, and how many people today think entitlement is what I deserve. Entitlement is what I should have. And Jesus says, no, thankfulness is what you're supposed to have. Because if you and I are thankful, what are we doing? We're going to someone and saying, what you did for me, I thank you for, which makes me less than them in regards to my feelings. It doesn't make me any less of a person. But it's me humbling myself and saying, man, thank you for what you did. We have a world today that doesn't say thank you. They think they're entitled to what's going on. It's interesting, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse number 1, I use this often, well, not often, but some, and this is from the NLT, it says, you should know this, and Paul's writing to Timothy, and so it's 2,000 years ago. Paul's writing to Timothy, he said, Timothy, as a young man in faith, I want you to know something. That in the last days, there will be very difficult times, very perilous times in the King James. It's going to be difficult. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful. They will be proud. They will scoff at God. They will be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. And then he goes on and says, and they will consider nothing sacred. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others. Phobia. No self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. You wonder why people are acting the way they are today? Because Paul predicted to Timothy and said, it's going to happen. Timothy, it's going to happen here. Guess what's going to happen here too? You know, when I stop and I think about this, and one of the main signs of dangerous and difficult times is a society that is unthankful. What do we see in our land? We see entitlement. And he said, these are signs that, yeah, it's the last days. The last days. Slandering, name-calling, xenophobe, homophobe, whatever phobe you want to write, and everything you want to write down, and we're called racist, and we're called this, and we're called that. Nothing new. It's happening right before our eyes. Because we're in last days. Now, we've been last days since the time of Christ's ascension. But what we've been watching is, whoa, things are speeding up just a little bit. But a sign of our times, a sign of what's going to happen, is that people will be thankless, ungrateful. And so man's response to Jesus while in quarantine, some Christians, hopefully, thankful. Others, entitled. I said hopefully. Healing or healer. So the ten take off. 9 of them keep on going. One of them says, nah. And what was the difference? 9 got what they wanted, what they thought they were entitled to. We're Jews. We deserve this healing. We deserve to be back with our families. We deserve to be with our friends. We deserve to have our jobs. Yes, indeed, we want our healings. We deserve it. One said, I want to know the healer. And he turns around and he heads back and he's shouting. He's having a regular fit, probably. I would. Man, I was a leper. I was destined to death. And now look at my skin. It's as pure as a baby's. Jesus, Master, and he's hollering, and he wanted to know the healer. And he comes to the healer, and it says, and he falls down at his feet, and he worships. Could I share with you, I believe that we struggled in the last year. We wanted our healing. And we were more concerned about our healing than we were concerned about our healer. And getting more time with him. Spending more time with him. Can't go to work. Shut work down. Shut everything down. So what do we do now? Roku, Netflix, Word of God. And we felt like we deserved a healing. Instead of spending more time with the healer. And so he came back. And as he comes back to Jesus, and 9 went on, he glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. We can either have relationship or we can have religion. This one wanted relationship. He came back to Jesus and just fell on his face before his feet and said, oh, thank you. 9, well, that's what the law says we're supposed to do. Let's go see the priest. Yep. We're gonna slit the neck of some birds. We're going to get some of that blood. It's going to get sprinkled. Yep. Oh, man, can you imagine shaving yourself all over the body and then waiting and put in isolation for 7 more days and come back out again? And all of a sudden, and you know what? They wanted their religion, and they didn't want to come back to the one who was the healer. One came back and said, I want a relationship. And he came back to Jesus. And he just fell right there. And I try to put myself there emotionally, and it's hard to do. And yet I can, kind of put yourself there. And 9 take off, and they're going, and We're going to get our religion. We're going to let the priest take care of us. He's going to pronounce us clean. We're going to the health authorities. He's going to pronounce us clean. And we're back into life and living again. Thanks for the healing. The healer? What was his name again? And the one came back and he said, I want a relationship now. Why? Because the way the scriptures read, savior or stranger. What do I mean by that? Because as I shared with you when I read the scriptures there, and he that said unto him, he says, Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. The word there that's used to be made whole was not the word that was used for normal for healing. It was not the word that says that you were clean in health. It was the word that said, it's the Greek word called sozo, that's how you pronounce it, but it means salvation. And that's why many of your Bibles have the translation, your faith has saved you. I'm sorry that, you know, and sometimes you just, translation, men begin to know more, learn more about it. Making whole was not, it could have been that way, but the real crux of the word was he found a savior. He found a savior. And when Jesus looked at him and he asked him those questions, where's the other nine and where are they? And you're a foreigner and you're a Samaritan and here you are. And he says to you, he didn't say dude, but he said, you know what? You're saved. You're saved. Not only was he healed, he found a savior. And it changed, it had to change his life. You know, sometimes people write stories about these things. Using sanctified imagination, where did he go afterwards? We don't know. We don't know. But the key behind it is this, man's response to Jesus while in quarantine could be either he's my savior or he's a stranger. And I act like he's a stranger or I act like he's a savior. And over the past year, I wonder if God was grading the church, what grade he gave us. I'm not talking about us in general. I'm talking about the church in general. The church as a whole. The church across America. The church around the world. But I think we can ask ourselves the same question. How did we respond to what took place in the past year? Do I look forward to the day that we can step back and say it's all normal again? Yeah, I do. I really do. You know, I've had a head cold this week. I haven't had COVID. But every time you go to cough, it's kind of like everybody looks at you like, and I didn't go out very far. My wife says, did you take your medicine? Yes, I did. But, you know, all of a sudden everybody's looking at us. We're all looking at one another like, you got the, you know, whatever. And I look forward to the day. It's kind of like, let's go back. People have colds. People get flu. We're going to go about business. We're going to do whatever we're going to do, and it's going to get back. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people that's not going to feel that comfortable anymore. But my question is, as we stop and think about this, how did we respond? What was our grade? I'd like to make another couple comments here very quickly about this. In regards to what we're finding out there today, too, that's really very appropriate to what's going on here. And I didn't put these down as points here, but you can put them down if you want to. And I think it's the whole race issue. The church is debating right now critical race theory. Theologians across our nation are debating critical race theory. We're talking about it in our Sunday school class right now, our adult Bible study, excuse me. We're talking about an adult Bible study about the race and prejudice, which is something I think that's got to be, we've got to be made aware of. But critical race theory. And this is being discussed by churches, and churches are splitting because of it. Ethnic churches are moving out because of it, leaving denominations because of it, because somebody's taking. And can I share a few things here? This past week, I saw this event on YouTube, and this young kid, younger guy, told us how Jesus was a racist with a Syrophoenician woman, and he said at the very end, but Jesus saw his racism, and he repented, and that's what we're all supposed to do. I went, Oh, let me at him. Jesus never repented for anything. Jesus was perfect in all he did. Otherwise, he could not be our Savior. But here was this young, whatever he was, woke, telling the world that Jesus was a racist, but he repented of his racism. Can I share something with you? Jesus was never a racist. Never should we as Christians be a racist. And the very fact that he went to the land of Syrophoenicia to begin with says he wasn't afraid of race or racism when he went and that Syrophoenician woman received Christ as her Savior. He didn't call her a dog either. And that's what he's trying to say. Well, he called her a dog. He didn't call her a dog. It's a stupid kid trying to tell everybody, look how woke I am. He never said that to her. But on today, people say, well, look at Jesus. He called him a Samaritan. Xenophobe. No. Because you and I and because Jesus recognize racial differences does not make you or me a racist. And we have got to stop bowing to this thing and feeling this way that, oh no, I got to keep my mouth shut. And if I say anything about something or recognize something, they're going to call me a name. What did the Lord say to Tim? What did Paul say to Timothy? They're going to slander you in the last days. Be ready for it. He called him a Samaritan. Guess what? He was a Samaritan. That's exactly what he was. It's like you and I going outside and calling a bird a robin. Oh, you racist. Well, calling a goldfinch, you racist. No, I called a bird. That was a goldfinch. That was a robin. This person may be Chinese. This person may be a Caucasian. This person may be Negro. And Jesus didn't look at that. Remember, he told us to go out to all nations, to all nations. And so as Jesus was there, he never let his salvation interfere any way with race. No race issues with salvation. We all know that. But people are continuing to attack the Word of God. They're attacking our Savior. They're starting to say, oh yeah, well, you know, you're a religious person, but Jesus was a racist. No, he wasn't. And neither am I. If you have racism in your spirit, then yeah, you confess it and get it taken care of. But this is what was happening here then too. Jesus, and he said, well, this guy's a foreigner. Oh, no, no, no. He's a migrant. He's an immigrant. No, he was a foreigner. And we're running from what our word tells us. And can I just share with you folks, we're going to be asked to stand up and just be who we are because we got a God that we love. And Jesus said it, and I'm not going to apologize for what Jesus said. And with the idea of racism, I'm not going to apologize because Jesus, in his creative act, in Psalm 139, when he formed me in my mother's womb, he made me a white boy. I can't do anything about that. And if I say, and I apologize for that, I've just said to Jesus, you made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. Where have we gone in a year? Where have we gone in a year? Man's response to Jesus while in quarantine. We've got to be careful. We got to be careful. An amazing fact, they all had leprosy. They all were quarantined and outcasts. But they were all determined to do something about it. They all heard about Jesus and believed he could help them. They all appealed to him. They all obeyed his word. They were all healed. Everything appears to be identical. But only one returned. Nine went on. One was grateful. Nine were not. One found forgiveness. Nine did not. One man got two miracles. Nine only got one. And as you and I stop and we think about the past year, we think about the year ahead of us yet, you know, we're hoping things are going to start to lighten up, open up, you know, and we have all these things. I found it to be so interesting as I just sat there and I started reading that this week and started meditating on that portion of scripture. And this was just, you know, as I'm studying the life of Christ, this is where it all happens. And this was the next thing in the chronology of our Lord's life and his teaching. We find this story. And I thought, 1 year later, what a cool passage to preach. And I didn't plan it. Our Lord did. But a year ago, where were we? We weren't here. We were quarantined. So what's the big idea today? The big idea is this. After a year or 1,000 years, Jesus is still mankind's answer. After a year, after 1,000, Jesus is still mankind's answer. Folks, aren't you glad you have the answer living within your heart? Letting you to guide you and direct you and give you his the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Let's be thankful where we find ourselves. And now, Father, we come before you this day and we just thank you for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, in certain regards, it's a rebuke. A rebuke to me, rebuke to some of us as we stop and think, how did we really respond? And yet, as we stop and realize the similarities of Scripture, may we continue to go back to the Word, go back to our Savior, and ask ourselves, am I doing it the way Jesus would want me to do? Lord, there's a lot of stuff that's happening around us right now. It's going to continue to happen that we're going to be challenged as Christians. Where are we going to move on this? But there are some things that are very, very obvious. And Lord, because of the obviousness of it, you're judging our land. We can need to pray for 40 days for life, Lord, and the group that's down at Planned Parenthood to let the world know this is still wrong. It's obvious it's wrong, the killing of the unborn. And Father, may we continue to see your hand work and see glimmers of your moving in the hearts and lives of people. We think that it's too late for our land, but we don't know your heart. We don't know your mind. And so we pray, Lord, that you be merciful, that you be gracious. If there's someone listening today that doesn't know you as your Savior, they've been in quarantine, they've struggled with all this, and they haven't had a peace, Lord, may they come to know the Prince of Peace. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? I hope so. If you don't, if you want to afterwards, come and talk to me. Talk to my wife. We can share with you how to know the Prince of Peace. And so, Father, today, thank you for that invitation to mankind, for mankind to come to you to find salvation. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.